It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It is Wine Wednesday. That means California Wine Country, the twice awarded internationally, let me say this again.
Famed.
Yes, internationally famed radio segment. Thank you very much. And that, of course, is Dan Berger, my co-host. And I'll let you introduce one of our guests today, because it's always great to have Kundi on. I say Kundi. Most people say Kundi, but one of my favorite wineries in the world.
Oh, they do a great job. This is Jeff Kundi. Jeff, how are you?
Hey, everybody. How are you?
Good to see you again, man.
Oh, likewise. It's always a fun sit in here and drink a little wine on a Wednesday.
Right on. And
what do you do here on Thursday?
That's beer.
Jeez,
this is midweek wine. I hate to ask you what's going on by Friday or Saturday.
Thursday is the drive brouhaha, where we have all the craft brewers. And then coming up, Marijuana Monday. And
it's just all downhill.
It's legal. Yeah, what can I say?
Pot Sunday. Yeah, why
yeah. Okay, Dan, your thoughts on Kundi and...
Well, this is one of the greatest growers, of course, in Sonoma County, with fabulous property in the Sonoma Valley up the highway between Santa Rosa and Sonoma. And as you drive past those incredible vineyards, you see many different grape varieties. They grow so many. I don't know how many varieties.
Yeah, we have 19 varietals.
It's really exciting to see all of them. And you see the different leaf shapes and the different structures of the clusters and so forth. But what's really interesting is how diverse the mix of wines is at the property. And it's a wonderful opportunity to see many different styles and types of wine. You stop at that gorgeous property right along on the, the eastern side of the highway. How many varietals are you selling in that tasting room, Jeff?
What we do is we do some special stuff there. We'll do about 15 different varietals. And that being said, we could do for people that are coming from around the country. We have like 5 varietals out in national sales, but we do about 12, 15 there at the tasting room for people that are coming there that they know they can't buy it anywhere else in the country. And then, of course, we make stuff for our club members that they know they can't buy it anywhere else in the country. So.
And then, of course, you also have all the tours that you're doing, which are really interesting.
Oh, yeah. We've been written about a lot. If you ever go to Yelp reviews or looking at that, people rave about us. We, Dan, what you talk about is true. You know, you go – we're about 2 miles of highway frontage there. And with that said, you really don't see all the property. It's 1,850 acres. We range from Valley Floor to about 1,500 feet. And we have tours that we take people up to what we call our mountaintop tasting, which is about 1,350 feet. And there's whole valleys and things back there full of vineyards that you actually don't see from the highway. And it's a spectacular view. You see all the way down to the bay.
Yeah.
You see the buildings of Oakland, actually, all the way and all the way up to Russian River Valley.
Well, you took me to the top of the mountain at one point a couple of years ago, and it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It's pretty good.
Now, Jeff, it's been over a century. There's 5 generations of the Kundi family. And, again, I say Kundi. We went through this last time you were here, I think.
Right. What was the movie? Crocodile Dundee, Kundi.
That's pretty easy. I remember now. You gave us that one last time. I don't know why I can't say Kundi because I always have to say Kundi. But
and you know what? That's fine with me. As long as you say it, that's all I care about.
Just keep saying it. That's it.
5 generations. Give us the history.
Well, my great-grandfather came over in the 1880s. He came from Germany. He's an immigrant, came through. He landed on the East Coast, made his way west. And he bought a little piece of property out there on Shiloh Road in Windsor. Right there. You know, if you go to my Yakimus or my Camus, the country club, that house there right on the left-hand side, that little vineyard right there, that was the original Kundi homestead right there.
Wow.
That's a Windsor. That's Windsor, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, right there in Windsor. Bought some property up in the Dry Creek Valley. We're not exactly sure where. And then the property in the Sonoma Valley came up for sale by the Shaw family, and that was in 1904. So he bought the original property in 1904 there in the heart of the valley. Pretty much the way the story goes is he was farming there. He made wines, and it was a real family farm in those days. You know, did a lot of different things, cattle, pigs. Dairy. There was other crops and vineyards and wines, and there was all kinds of things going on there. He passed away in the early 20s. grandfather was there, and so they continue to make wines. But then the war years came around, World War II, the Korean conflict and all that. They decided, you know, there wasn't enough help there in the vineyards and to do all the farming and everything. So they decided to stop making wines. And pretty much from that time forward, it was just all about growing grapes and acquiring more property. We had a ranch up in Mendocino County. We sold it and then put all our efforts down in Sonoma Valley. And so today the property is about 1,850 acres. A lot of award-winning wines were made from our fruit over the years. 1990, we decided to start making our own wines again. And so from 90, so that's been, gosh, 27 years now we've been doing it. And so the three things that we're known for is everything is 100% estate produced and grown with our label on it, comes from the property. Number two is we're sustainably farmed. We're actually certified sustainable. And number three is we're a family-owned operation. So like you said, five generations. And we got the next generation coming up the ranks also. So
amazing.
It's pretty cool.
It is amazing. It's an amazing story and some amazing wine at Kunde.com. Sorry, K-U-N-D-E. It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn at 514 on the Wednesday Drive. And we welcome back Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, back with us. Good to see you, man.
Hi, how you doing?
All righty.
And, you know, I got to tell a little story about Barry.
Oh, good. We love Barry stories.
Well, I got stories about everybody. I do have the pictures. I'm not going to talk about the pictures
okay,
I have.
Please, thank you.
But,
it's okay. It's radio, Jeff.
Well, I actually met Barry his very first day at work at Bottle Barn.
Yeah.
The very first day.
It was my head spinning.
Yeah.
Oh, you went, oh, my God, it's Jeff Kunde.
Exactly. It was just by chance I was in there. Actually, I'd met with Dan Berger. I think earlier that week, and so right. I just wanted to. He gave me some suggestions of some rosés and things to look at, and I figured what better selection would be than Bottle Barn. So I was just roaming the shelves for Mr.
Cool.
Berger. Just you know, he's giving me some things to look at.
Some pointers. Yeah.
All right, now I want to rewind for a moment. Martin Ray, Kate Noble is here from Martin Ray, and they've got this big thing coming up that on June 10th. What are you laughing at?
You're funny.
I wasn't trying to be that time.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you tried.
You just laugh at me no matter what.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a given.
Okay. Did you guys got a taste of some Martin Ray Shard here to get...
They're busy.
We did it, right?
Already. You did?
I've had that, well, a couple of weeks ago, actually.
But yeah, that's solid.
All right.
Good wine.
Your thoughts on that?
It's gorgeous
on this particular
wine.
Shard.
It has beautiful, cool climate fruit, and I think that's what the secret to what Martin Ray has been doing has been focusing a little bit more on the west side of Sonoma County. So it's got some nice citrusy notes to it. It's got some a teeny bit of oak, but not very much. What I really like is the fact that it's sort of sprightly, works with food really, really well.
Yeah,
its main goal is to go with food.
Yeah, and available at Bottle Barn.
Yes, in fact,
I don't know about this one.
Oh, is this
particularly?
Am I not seeing the whole label? I'm
yeah.
Sorry.
So this is the 2015 Mill Station Chardonnay.
Oh,
so
maybe
this is
not.
One
no,
that we
I
make a really, really limited amount of. So unfortunately, most of what I brought today, of course, is going to be stuff that you can only get at the winery. And actually, one of the reasons I brought these particular wines is they are all going to be served at our James Beard dinner.
You have rosé.
You do have rosé.
That was a big hit at our event last week.
Rosé all day.
Oh, that's right. How did the rosé day go?
Fantastic. We had 51 rosés, and we had 125 people in attendance.
That was at the Hyatt, right?
Yeah, at the Hyatt.
I tried to make it, but I'm just too old and cranky.
It sold out in 2 days, so we're going to do another one in August with Pinot Noir. We'll give you more
cool.
time on that one.
All right. Now, this James Beard Celebrity Chef Dinner at Martin Ray is coming up June 10th. Again, run it down, Kate. We've got Chef Mark Stark and Terry Stark are going to be kind of the celebrity
They're essentially,
hosts.
Yeah, the celebrity chef hosts. And then we have a chef, Billy No, who is coming up from Sacramento. We have Kevin Nashen coming from St. Louis. And then Scott Roberts coming from Austin, Texas. It is totally barbecue focused. So each chef is essentially doing an appetizer course and then a main course. And then Mark and Terry are doing a dessert course as well.
Mark's going to make buttermilk fried Hoffman Farms quail with mumbo sauce, whatever that is.
Exactly.
And a bunch of other stuff. But just listen to this and think about it. Buttermilk fried Hoffman Farms quail. I have to go. I got to go.
Yeah, he actually
I got to go eat.
Four orders to go.
He actually did a preview at the winery through our mobile kitchen recently, and it was we got a preview of what he's going to be making, and it was pretty fantastic.
Just put the words buttermilk and quail into a sentence, and I'm there all over it.
Hardcore sold.
Now, Martin Ray. Explain the history of the winery and who Martin Ray was.
So Martin Ray was a winemaker who got his start down in the Santa Cruz Mountains area. He was actually a protege of Paul Masson.
Really?
Kind of a crotchety old winemaker, but knew
relate.
What he was doing. Yeah.
Historically, by the way, just as a point of reference, made some of the worst wine ever made in California.
Nice.
Martin Ray.
And some of the best.
And a nice and some of the
not best. Not a nice plug at all.
It was like shooting fish in a barrel, except the bottom of the barrel had holes in it. So
what happened? I mean, when did he leave us?
He passed away in 73.
Wow.
But his winery had pretty much gone defunct by about 70. He was up in the hills. He didn't like visitors. He hated selling wine. He liked making it, didn't like selling it very much. So, and he had very strange. I couldn't get an appointment with him for years and years. I tried to get to meet him, and just forget it. He wasn't interested.
Wow.
But interesting story was that some of his best wines were sold at some of his lower prices. Because he thought that his best wines were the ones that were very exotic. The reason for their exoticness was the fact that they were sort of spoiled, and he wasn't quite sure about them. A lot of people have bought Martin Ray wines over the years and been disappointed.
After these words of encouragement, sure people are now going to go out
no,
and
you
buy.
Guys,
Thank
no.
you, Dan.
No,
this
not,
has been
no,
amazing.
Wait.
Story is not done.
Now, when Mr. Benham got involved, the whole thing changed. It became really good wine suddenly.
And that was like 20 years ago. So we're talking about in the 90s.
Yeah.
Courtney 50s, Benham 60s. Made an amazing discovery when he stumbled upon 1,500 cases of Martin Ray wine in a San Jose warehouse.
And those were pretty good wines, actually. Those were quite good.
Take the story from there.
So, essentially, Courtney actually and his brother founded Blackstone Winery and then sold Blackstone to Constellation for a little bit of coin in the early 90s. So, Courtney essentially approached the Martin Ray family about, A, he wanted to buy these cases, but B, he also wanted to purchase the brand. They said, yes, absolutely. And then Courtney continued making the wine for several years in a warehouse in Kenwood and then purchased the current property that we are at in 2003. We're one of the longest continuously owned, that property is one of the longest continuously owned and operated properties in Sonoma County. It was actually built in 1881.
Where exactly again?
It's out on Laguna Road. It's 2191 Laguna Road, essentially in between Guerneville and River Road. There's a big water tower, so you can't really miss
Russian River.
Russian River Valley.
Valley.
And
exactly.
Really very fine wines today. I mean, really wonderful consistency and high quality winemaking.
I told you he'd get around to the praise.
No, it's just a matter of
it's the praise time
got away. I think what happened originally was that Martin was in the business at a time when there wasn't a lot of technology available to him. And some of his wines were fantastic, but they were so few and far between. Some of the best wines that he made were truly spectacular from what I heard, but I never tasted a single one. I have two bottles in my cellar at this point from 1969 that were made by Martin Ray, and they were really wonderful wines.
Yeah. Wow.
But that's it. Those are the only two that I've ever tasted that were any good. So.
Yeah, I had some wines from the 60s and even 50s from him that were amazing when I was early in my wine career.
Right.
So never saw him again.
So Courtney hired winemakers Bill Batchelor and Lindsay Houghton.
Houghton. Yes.
And the rest is history.
And then they hired me. So, I mean, really, what else is there in life?
Exactly. I couldn't agree more.
And the winery really took off.
I mean, in August, that's when everything just really started taking off.
When they hired Noble.
When they hired Kate Noble.
Yep, that was just all there was to it.
Okay, again, this James Beard celebrity chef dinner that Clark Wolf has been talking about for a long time is happening June 10th at Martin Ray. Marketary Stark will be the celebrity chefs who are hosting, and a whole bunch of other celebrity chefs will be cooking It's going to be a really cool event. So if you just it's martinray.com.
Yeah, just go to martinraywinery.com. You can purchase the tickets online. We are very close to being sold out. So if you are at all interested, I would highly recommend getting them sooner rather than later.
Okay.
It's going to be a pretty amazing evening. We're just really honored and excited to be able to be part of it and be hosts of it.
Hell yeah, it's the James Beard Foundation.
It's the James Beard Foundation.
And Clark Wolf will be with us tomorrow, as he is every Thursday, and he'll be talking more about it too. All right, very cool. All right, now, Kundi. I'm sorry, Kundi. I just can't.
Well, okay, I'm really going to get precise with you. Since do you have any German blood in you?
I'm Italian, I know.
I thought he was talking to me. I was like, that's a really personal question.
I know. But if you really want to get personal here.
Let's do it.
I like this. It's Kunda. Oh,
Kunda. Yeah.
Kunda. That's the German. That's the original name. It's Kunda means customer client in German.
Really?
Wow. That is the word. It's a
K-U-N-D-E.
Yeah, Kunda.
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 But you all say Kundi.
Kundi. Well, we're Americanized it.
Yeah. Well,
of course. And I actually, one time I was working with a lady on the East Coast, and all day long she was, introduced me as Jeff Kunde, and I finally said, it's really Kundi. She goes, no, it's not. You're saying your name wrong. So I was like, oh, whatever. Okay.
What do you know?
Whatever.
Come on.
Well, my name's Vicario, and that's in Italy. When I was growing up, it was Vicario, because they tried to make it sound more, I don't know, less Italian or exotic or something.
Or Vicario.
Well, I get that from people who don't have a clue. But
Kazuntite.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Dan can go off on this one, Mondavi Mondavi.
We were just talking about that at lunch today. I was having lunch at the Pedroncelli's, and what an interesting story that is. It's another story. But we were talking about the difference between Mondavi and Mondavi.
Mm-hmm.
Mondavi was the name that Robert used, and Mondavi was the name that Peter used.
And I think that was a family name always, but when Robert decided to create, they split, and it was Mondavi.
That's right.
And Mondavi sounds so much better than Mondavi.
Well, it's what your ear is used to.
Because if you
were Peter, you were Mondavi.
Well, it took me growing up with Vicario, and I hate, and then I found out that it's in Italy, it's actually pronounced Vicario. So 25 years ago, shortly after my son was born, I said, "That's it, we're changing it to Vicario."
And that's what it's been. When I got to Australia, I'm Dan Berger.
There you go.
Well, I'm going to do that.
His name is Erbst.
I'm going to do the Mondavi thing. I'm splitting from the family, and I'm going to drop the K, so it'll just be Unde.
There you go. Hello, Mr. Unde.
Unde.
Okay. How much time? I just got the 1 minute from Mike. We'll be back. Our guests are Jeff Kundi.
He had a thing, didn't he?
There you go, Steve. You got it.
My co-host, Dan Berger. I'm Steve Vicario, and Barry Oibst.
Oibst. This is a German.
Oh, wow.
Excuse me, I got to go Oibst.
Brooklyn, I think.
We never even got into that name. Yeah. That could be fun. Yeah.
And I just want to say, talking about words and names, one thing to everyone as we go to the break. Kafifi. Kafifi.
That was on the web, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, all over the web.
Yeah.
May your Kafifi fly like a bird. Our guest today, along with my co-host, of course, Dan Berger, or Berger.
Berger.
Is Jeff Kundi from the fabulous Kundi Wines, and Kate Noble is here from Martin Ray Wines.
Otherwise known as Noble.
Noble. Kate.
Noble.
Join the party.
Just Noble.
all right, where were we? Oh, I know what I wanted to ask.
Making fun of each other.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what we do here.
Word.
Sarah Lee McClelland Kundi,
mm-hmm.
a dairy rancher's daughter. I'm quoting Chris Smith from...
fabulous writer.
Years ago, who became a grower of prized wine grapes and an irresistible force for the celebration of Sonoma County agriculture, died a few years ago.
Yes.
And Chris is writing her obit. Tell us about Sarah Lee and her husband. And now we have the cool barn at the fairgrounds. And
Yeah, it's great. Well, Sarah Lee is like my aunt. She married my uncle, Rich.
Right,
and I knew Sarah Lee way before Rich ever knew her.
Really?
Yeah, because I was a kid growing up, you know, I was, you know, teenager, whatever, you know, middle school and 4-H FFA. And Sarah Lee was, of course, the dairy person. And she was like a fair administrator, you know, Cow Palace and Sonoma County Fair, and I would be, you know, the exhibitor. And, you know, you just know all the people that
work behind
the scenes.
She was a superstar in all that.
Well, yeah, she was one of the people behind the scenes. She ran these events, like the Cow Palace. And, you know, Sarah Lee. Yeah, everyone just knew her, Sarah Lee. So, and then they met down the road, and then they got together. And so that's, you know, it's history. But I knew Sarah Lee way
before. Before your uncle.
Oh, way before.
That's amazing.
Way before, yeah.
Yeah. What made her a superstar? I mean, you know, I've been here a long time, but I don't know that much about her.
Well, Sarah Lee was a force. Certainly, she dedicated her life to agriculture.
She's a dynamic woman for this county, yeah, in terms of many different cultures,
yes,
not just viticulture, but many,
right,
other things.
Yeah.
They were raising, what, pygmy goats and,
well, they did everything,
stuff,
yeah,
like that. And they did so many things for the community. They were fabulous folks, both of them.
Well, the funny thing that people probably don't know about Rich, but Rich was one of the guys that actually, I mean, I remember way back when, he was one that got the AVAs going. That was all,
yeah,
part of his,
really,
group. Oh, yeah.
Mm.
That all started. There's a lot of history. Yeah, a lot of history.
Yeah, and at the time, Sonoma, it said here in the Chris Smith article, Sonoma County Supervisor Mike McGuire, who's now state senator, was quoted as saying by Chris, "She's been such a force. For me, Sarah Lee is an icon. When you think of agriculture in Sonoma County, you think of her. It was in her blood."
That's true.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful building on the fairgrounds that,
yeah,
that's finally completed. It's gorgeous, and it's really an homage to the two of them.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the Cundy. Oh, I said it right. Cundy.
Wow.
Two for two now.
Yeah. Chardonnay that you guys are tasting. Dan, your thoughts?
Well, it's another example of how Sonoma Valley can make this beautiful, broad statement without the wine being heavy or clumsy. It's light and delicate, but it still has lots of guts to it. It's got some substance. I don't know whether this went through malolactic fermentation or not, but it's really got some beautiful, beautiful richness to it.
We do about, it's about 80% barrel, mm-hmm, which we're not big barrel people, but of the 80% barrel, only of the 80%, 80% of the 80% is neutral oak, is only 20% new oak of the 80%. So we don't do big oak influence on our wine. So it's more, it's what we call, you know, the marrying of the both. So they're in harmony with each other.
Yeah, this is my kind of chard.
No, they're in harmony, and that's how we'd like to do it. So you're actually I think it's 18 different clones of Chardonnay, different clonal selections that we make that up with.
And Cundy at Bottle Bar and Berry.
Yes, pretty much everything they make.
Yeah.
And Chardonnay, well, Sauvignon Blanc's the biggest seller, I think, but
yeah,
Chardonnay's right behind it.
And
really clean. It's kind of wine that you keep coming back to and never get tired of.
And always a huge seller no matter where it is, but yeah, especially at the Bottle Barn.
So can I tell a quick little story about Bottle Barn?
Please do.
I love stories. Mm-hmm. And it's his predecessor, Ben.
Mm-hmm. The late, great Ben Pearson.
And I was doing, and he buttonholed me.
Mm-hmm.
We were this is last time I was actually on the radio show with you guys, and we had just gotten a huge award, you know, the double gold and the thing at the Harvest Fair with our reserve Chardonnay, and there was none available. Mm-hmm. And who was it said, you, somebody said, whoa, because we didn't have any for sale. He said, well, can't you make five cases available for Ben? And it was right on the radio, and I said, yes, we will.
Well, and as I always joked when he was my co-host, he, mm-hmm, after the segment, after the show, he would be out in the hallway making deals, and
yeah,
suddenly wine that wasn't available.
And Bottle, you know, Barn, what? I made good on that, yeah, and you got those five cases, and that it was
and
it
wasn't. Yeah, that's I've right. Made a number of deals in this hallway.
Yeah. 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 Well, there's another wine you haven't seen here yet that has never been released of ours.
We got to try the two reds, yeah, though, the reserve.
Of course, yes.
And we did buy their barrel this year at the Sonoma.
Yeah, talk about that.
Auction, yeah, the very special Cabernet.
Yeah, fantastic.
Jeff, I don't think you knew that.
Yeah, somebody else from the winery had called me.
I wasn't there. I was actually, you know what? I was out on the road working, trying to sell our product. I was on the East Coast, and that's the honest to God truth, man.
Good job.
So explain what that means, Barry.
So it's a one-of-a-kind barrel that it'll be released to us, I think, spring of next year. And it's a single parcel, I think,
yes,
single vineyard Cabernet. It's one time that's been made ever. and we were lucky enough to outbid.
That's great.
The, it was getting kind of hot and heavy in the bidding area there. I was happy to get that one lot, and we'll have that up for sale at Bottle Barn next spring.
Oh, that's great, because I know the year before we sold it at HEB, and we just tasted that wine with the HEB folks. They're a big store in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And they bought the thing the year before, and they were, like, blown away how fantastic that wine was.
It's going to be cool to have that.
Yeah, that's very good.
Very nice.
Thank you for that.
Dan?
Well, no, I think what happens with the Sonoma County auction is that you have these special lots, and they're one of a kind. They are unique. Nobody will ever see the wine again. You make it one time, and that's it. And if you don't buy it when it's available, you'll never see it again. And so those are the kinds of things that I think are really special for this local auction.
And that's what we try to do at our place. We try to make wines that are small bottlings of particular wines, you know, that the public, you know, the general public can't get. You're not going to see it, you know, stacked high and sold that way. It's not, and that's kind of what we'd like to do.
Well, that's one of the benefits of Bottle Barn as well, is that they're local, they're locked in, they really understand what's happening in the community, and they really pay homage to and respect what local wineries are doing in a way that larger chain operations can't possibly
exactly.
do.
Oh, 100%. No.
Where wine country buys their wine.
Yeah, no, I'm really lucky. Ben created this culture of supporting so many local guys that carrying on, they come to me now. All these small guys that are, you know, doing everything themselves. You might not see it anywhere outside of Sonoma County, and they'll come in and sell, you know, sometimes their whole lot.
The other thing that's really kind of amazing to me always is that the prices at Bottle Barn are always fair. It's never going to be – they're never going to gouge you just because the wine's unavailable elsewhere.
Right.
They'll just put the price down to where it's affordable, and you basically you walk through the store and find bargain after bargain. It's really amazing.
And it's, of course, not just wine, but spirits, every kind of spirit in the world. And
sake, we're trying to keep our sake tasting alive. It's going to happen.
I want to be part of that.
On the air and do a full –
and, of course, beer and craft beer, there's no better place and no better prices. What can I say?
And they've been, I can't, you know, tip my hat far enough for them. They've been huge supporters of ours from day one, and that's very special to us.
All right. Now, Jeff brought some Cundy Reds.
Oh, this Cabernet. This 2013 Cabernet just got released, I assume?
Yes.
This is really good stuff. Now, this is
tell us, Dan.
Well, the name on the wine is it says Sonoma Valley, and then it says Cundy Cabernet Sauvignon 2013. And underneath it says Drummond. You want to explain that?
Well, this is again. These are the little special things we do. This is our Drummond cabin. We have quite a history there at Cundy. James Drummond or John Drummond, he was an English army captain. Okay, came over from Europe.
And founded a property called Dunfillan.
Dunfillan Winery there. In fact, if any of you have ever seen the movie
Valley.
Bottle Shock, do you ever see the movie Bottle Shock?
I did. It's great.
Most of that was filmed on our property.
Okay, I do
remember. And at the very end, when they're in Paris or in that building tasting the wines, that was actually John Drummond's winery that's on our property.
Really?
That stone building. Anyway.
I did not know that.
He brought with him vines from Chateau Lafite, Rothschild, and Margaux. Now, we're talking about the 1880s, okay? There was this tasting in San Francisco, and I didn't know any of this. We, truthfully, the family did not know this. We had William Hines, excuse me, do a history, you know, went through and researched all this and got all these documents. John Drummond introduced this wine to a gathering in San Francisco, a wine aficionados, and he put on the label Cabernet Sauvignon, and he's the first guy in America to put Cabernet Sauvignon on the label, and that's documented.
That was published in a book called Wines and Vines of California by Frona Eunice Waits in 1881.
And I remember that. I was there.
On your bedstand. But it's real. You know what's really fun about our place? I mean, it's just real history, and it's, you know, it's the real thing.
And you have the remnants of the old building on your property.
They're still there. Yeah, it's still there, and we do things out there, and it's beautiful. And these vineyards go back to the original Margaux vines. And, again, this is one of the – we do it – every room we have at our winery, every facility, everything is named after a part of history. So it's not a made-up thing. It's the real deal.
This wine's got the – sort of the tar, the black cherry – the spice components, the earth spice, the sandalwood. It's got all of those pieces in it. It just needs about 5 to 10 more years in the bottle.
Well, and that's the thing. I talked with our winemaker, by the way, I even spoke about our winemaker, Zach Long. He's a tremendous, talented winemaker. He's a young man in his late 30s, early 40s. Anyway, incredible winemaker. And we were talking about this, and he's made this, what he called it, he made this in the French style, okay? However, with a little bit of a California twist. But he said this wine is to be put down and to be aged.
At least 10 years.
Beautiful,
yeah.
With it. But you get that nice chocolate to it and everything.
And a trace of mint,
yes.
Which I was picking up a moment ago. And I was really,
mint?
Yeah, a little bit of sort of spearmint.
How does that happen?
It's a combination of what happens with the red fruit when the wine is very, very young, and it's still got these fermentation aromas, so it's really a young wine, but it's a good vintage. 12 was a little heavier, 13 a little lighter, more elegant, but this is made in that European style. Really gorgeous wine.
And again, we call this, so what we're showing you here today is we have a couple different layers of things. We have our estate, which is from the estate, then we have what we call our destination series, only can be purchased there at the winery. And then we also have one of our reserves that we'll show a little bit in a few minutes.
Yeah. I could drink a gallon of this, but unfortunately, better not.
So. All right, hold on. Sorry. Let's watch Dan drink a gallon of this wine and see what happens.
I need Mark Stark in the room with his steaks.
Oh, we could adjourn right now and do that. Go there.
We'll be there on the 10th.
Oh, that's right.
There we go.
But I will have the big juicy steak over the little quail.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Oh, I'm going for the quail. Like I said, any sentence that has buttermilk and quail in the same sentence, I'm all over
that.
Yeah,
but I'll take a steak and beef.
And
we're
this
beef
one.
Guys, oh yeah.
And this Cabernet.
And don't get me wrong, I love steak and quail.
Okay, and the other red, Jeff, that you brought?
So what we got here, this is one of my personal favorites. Again, historical. I told you about my great-grandfather purchasing the original property in 1904.
Louis Cundy.
Louis. So anyway, the thing that's quite interesting about it is when he bought the property, there was 30 acres already planted of vines that were planted in 1879. So they were already like 30 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. Well,
and what were they?
Zinfandel.
Oh, my God.
So in our wisdom, we decided, and I would like to say my wisdom, but it was not because I was the first that wanted to take these vines out because we get very little production. In fact, one day, I'll never forget, my cousin and I were there with the backhoe and we're taking out these vines. We have 30 acres of these old vines, and we were taking them out. Our winemaker, we just started the winery, and our winemaker drives up and he sees us there taking out the vines, and he screamed and went crazy. And we said, well, we only get a ton and a half to this. We're losing money hand over fist. We're taking these vines out. And let's just say we lost the battle. What this is our what we call our Century Vine Reserve. These are off vines that are 130 to 140 years old actually today.
No kidding.
And we go into that vineyard, pick it 6 separate times to get the perfect ripeness of it. We only make about 1,900 cases of it.
And this is a claret style of Zinfandel.
This is not your typical. If you're,
it's not in your face. No.
Oh, okay, I'm gonna ask you a question, Dan.
All right, that I'm issuing a geek alert when it comes to claret style of Zinfandel. So go ahead, or Jeff, or
it's made more or less in the style of Bordeaux. So it has that Bordeaux leanings to it in terms of structure and aromatics. So it does have a little bit of that wild spice, raspberry component from the Zinfandel. But more than that, you're getting a little bit of this earth notes, these sandalwood, this dirt, and this. It's a fascinating complexity.
All I can say is, how many people have you met? Well, let's break it down a little bit. How many people have you met that are over 100 years old? And I've met a few.
Grandmother made it to 104.
All right. Mm-hmm. All I'm going to say, when she was 103, was she big and bold and in your face?
Yeah. Oh, she punched the hell out
of me. Oh, well, then that won't fit to this story because this is what I
said, Grandma, don't wrestle. You're 104.
No, but to me, this is a wine of elegance. It's what I like. You know, my descriptor of this wine that I think is I'm about history. I'm really into history. I call this wine you're tasting wisdom.
Yeah.
Whoa. I like that.
Yeah. Taking wisdom.
It's got gracefulness and richness. And it's not over the top. It does have the spice character. This, what do you think, Barry?
It's great. 14.8 alcohol, which is actually on the lower end of things in Zinfandel world these days. And really nice. Plenty of fruit, but you don't get any of that burn, any of that heat that, you know, when they get those
slap in the face kind of thing.
Yeah, getting to the high 15.9, 16.1 alcohol. Starts, you know, sometimes it gets masked, but this doesn't need it. It's so elegant. Yeah. Well made.
And I can't taste the reds. I've had a few tastes of both Martin Ray and Cundy Shards. And the reason I can't...
I saw a little stumble there, but...
I can't taste the reds because my valet and driver, Jean-Paul, has the day off. So I have
I
to be
DeWald
cool.
DeWald was your
valet. No,
that's
no.
what he told me. He told me that he was your valet. Yeah, I'm confused.
Have you ever heard of Utuber?
Utuber. Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. No, I'm a big Uber guy. Uber guy. Uber?
Again.
Uber. Well, anyway, but this wine is for me, it's got a lot of history because, you know, again, it's little things of history that's real. And if you look at the label, I'll show you the emblem that is on this label. My great-grandfather went to actually, and I it's probably because I'm on the Board of Trustees of the Santa Rosa Junior College, and we're getting ready in 2018 to celebrate our 100-year anniversary.
Right.
I'm one of the trustees.
Yeah.
But my great-grandfather went to school in 1910, and this emblem was on his diploma. JC wasn't even around in those days, but it was the Santa Rosa. And we have the actual diploma, the Santa Rosa Business College.
No kidding.
And he used this emblem that was on his diploma for his wine label.
I think he and I were classmates.
You look the age. So
I do, don't I? Yeah. Just about wrapping up California Wine Country. Brought to you by Bottle Barn. Barry Hearn is here from Bottle Barn. Dan Berger. Kate Noblay. Thank
you. You got it.
And and Jeff
Kunda.
Kunda from Cundy Wineries. All right. We're all working on our names.
President accounted for.
I like Barry It's actually Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn. Katie. Oh, I'm not supposed to call you that.
Sorry. If you want me to respond,
exactly.
You don't call me
all right, Kate. Kate Noble. From
perfect.
Martin Ray. Martin Ray Vineyards and Winery are presenting the James Beard Celebrity Chef Dinner on June 10th. This is huge. We'll talk more about it with. What's his name tomorrow? Clark Wolf.
Yeah, him too.
Because he'll be there. All right, give us a quick one. I mean, far as the event.
Don't look at me all crazy like that.
I want to hear his story.
He wants a quail story.
No, we're going to get the quail story. But.
So basically, this is just a really cool event. What I have in my glass right now is a 2013 Puccioni Vineyard Zinfandel. Made 150 cases of this, so this is going to be one of the wines that is actually going to be featured at the dinner on June 10th. So very cool. First time James Beard Foundation has ever done a dinner at a winery. So we are the guinea pigs, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's very cool. We'll talk more about it with Clark Wolf tomorrow. But Mark and Terry Stark will be the celebrity chef hosts, and then you got Chef Kevin Nashen?
Nashen. Kevin Nashen, who actually just won his first James Beard Award last month. He won Best Chef in the Midwest, and then you've got Scott Roberts from... Why can I not remember from Salt Lick?
Salt Lick in Austin.
In Austin, Texas.
Mike's been there.
And then Billy No from Sacramento. So it should be a good lineup.
It's June 10th. Go to
MartinRayWinery.com.
There you go. You need to do that. We got 2 minutes. Barry Herbst is with us, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, sponsor of California Wine Country, and of course, Dan Berger. And we got a story from Jeff.
All right. We were talking off break here. I had a very quick story. I'm about history, right? And I think you've heard of the name around in our area, Jack London. He kind of wrote a comic strip, I think.
That's all I ever read.
I had a thing. It was, you know, he was related to Charles Schulz. I don't know. It was a comic strip.
Nice.
Anyway,
wasn't he Jack Nicholson's father?
Something to that.
I don't know.
Anyway, the way the story I know it, my grandfather was buddies with Jack London. Okay, so we lived, you know, he was up there at, you know, the Jack London State Park. We're across the valley. The story I've heard, I can't say it's true or not, but, you know, if you're a writer, and my grandfather was a wine guy, there's a tendency to partake in beverage a little bit.
No.
That's crazy.
Perhaps.
Never heard of that.
Perhaps. Anyway, the way the story goes, my grandfather was, or great-grandfather was a buddy of his, and, you know, he'd go over and take his horse and buggy, go over and visit Jack, and they'd have dinner together and maybe one glass of wine together.
Oh, yeah, right.
And it would be in the early morning hours, and it was time to go home, and my grandfather would get into the horse and buggy and home ginger, and he'd wake up and he'd be back in the barn, back at home, you know, a few hours later. So that's how it worked. He and Jack.
How cool. I've got less than a minute, and Mike's about to give me 10 fingers, which means we got to get out of here.
That's super awkward.
Thanks to Barry Hurst, wine buyer at Bottle Bond.
Six different last names today.
My good friend and my co-host every week on California Wine Country, Dan Berger. The great Kate Noble. From Martin Ray, go to martinraywinery.com. Jeff Cundy. Jeff, great to see you again. Everybody,
hey,
thanks so
you.
Much.
Thanks for having us.